This is William Hill Racing Radio.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday's edition. On Monday we have cards from Ayr, Leicester and Redcar, and Racing Radio will have it all covered from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, Mick Norton and John Budden, your studio team. To look ahead to two races at Ayr and two races at Leicester, it's myself, Michael Wood, and John Budden. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Hello, Michael. I'm very well. Not because of the Naps winning. They're not, alas, with the fluency I would like, but because Carlisle United remain unbeaten in the league. The only team, Michael, who have yet to be beaten, and they won 2-1 away to Stevenage on Saturday. So well done, the Blues.
Well done indeed to Carlisle. Before we look ahead to Monday's action, John, it's worth looking back at the feature action on Saturday, the Racing Post Trophy at Doncaster, where jockey Andrea Azzini won his fourth Racing Post Trophy on the spin with Rivet. What did you make to his performance?
Well, quite a lot. I thought Rivet is, I don't think he's really a classic star hope, but he's a very decent, very tough horse, and trained, of course, by William Haggis. And it was a real family occasion, because Lester Piggott, whose daughter is Mrs. Haggis, Maureen, and he himself, Lester, rode the Grand Dam, I think, of Rivet, and also has a share in Rivet. So it was a real family occasion, and I was actually delighted that Rivet won and beat the hordes of the Aidan O'Brien. Let's not be unfair to Aidan O'Brien. He's had a magnificent season and he's a really great trainer. But it was actually quite nice to see a home-bred, as you might say, unit beat one of the Irish Brigade. Ran well, I thought, Rivet. I think he likes Doncaster. You know, it's the sort of track that he can really show his galloping style on. And what about Andrea Azzini? Well, Michael, about, I suppose now, 4 or 5 months ago, I suggested that Andrea Azzini would be the one live danger in the Jockeys Championship. And it hasn't quite worked out, although he's obviously had a very good season. Roger Varian's horses just went a bit quiet in the middle of the summer, which meant that he missed out on one or two winners. And he is a jockey, I think, who goes for quality rather than quantity. So I probably made a mistake in putting him up for the Jockeys' Championship earlier in the season. But he is a very, very fine rider. And to win four racing posts off the trot is a tremendous feather in his cap. And I thought he gave Rivet a really splendid ride. And he is a top-class rider.
He is indeed. And we also had very good action from Cheltenham as well. What particularly caught your eye at Cheltenham?
Well, at Cheltenham, it was Neil Maholland who caught my eye there. The West Country trainer, who had a tremendous year last season, had a good double. Fox Norton won for him. But the horse that I was really interested in at Cheltenham was Chantou Village. Now, that was a horse I saw winning by the length of a sort of country mile at Carlisle last season, went on to score at Cheltenham. I thought had a big chance at the festival, but quite frankly disappointed, ran down the field, and I don't think he was quite at his peak in the spring, but this is a really decent horse. He was bought for quite a lot of money by Neil Mulholland before last season at Cheltenham. I think it was something like 80 grand, but it was money well spent, and he won in very good style at Cheltenham yesterday, and I should be watching Chantou Village during the coming season.
I think it's also worth mentioning, John, the sad news that jockey Mark Birch has passed away.
Yeah, but it is very sad indeed. You know, sadly, of course, it wasn't a great surprise because he'd been ill fighting cancer for some time. But he was a really tremendous jockey, Mark Birch. Never quite reached the sort of classic highlights, but day in, day out, our most reliable North Country jockey. He would not have been riding for Peter Easterby for so many seasons if he wasn't. He knew every track like the back of his hand on the Northern Circuit, and he won more or less every handicap, big and small, on the Northern scene during his time, except for the E-ball. He won a couple on Sea Pigeon, but it was John Joe O'Neill who was on board when Sea Pigeon won the E-ball. But he was a really consistent, reliable, tough, knowledgeable jockey. And when Mark retired, he joined Kevin Ryan, and he was a real key figure in the Kevin Ryan progress. And sadly, he went down with cancer some while ago, and is gradually gone downhill. So very, very tragic, but he was and will be remembered as a top-class jockey on the Northern scene.
He will indeed. Now our thoughts go out to his friends and family. Well, let's move on to Monday's action, John, and we'll begin with two races at Ayr that we're going to be previewing. The first of those is the 3:35, a Class 4 handicap chase over 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 112 yards. There's 6 runners in the field to choose from, John. What has caught the eye?
Interesting little race, quite competitive without being, high class. Oscar Tara represents a stable who are in very good shape at the moment, Donald McCain, and Will Kennedy's having a great run on the McCain horses. But I do think Oscar Tara's got a little bit to do to win this particular contest. Same applies to Fair Lock. The only qualification there is that Fair Lock is trained by Brian Ellison and has Brian Hughes on board. And no jockey is riding better on the Northern Jump scene at the moment than Brian Hughes. Had a four-timer at Carlisle earlier in the week, and he'll give Fairlock obviously a great ride. Then we've got James Hewitt with a horse, a Premier Grand Cru. I can never quite get James Hewitt right. It always seems to be that you should back his horses first time out, and they generally then give their very best. Premier Grand Cru will be running after quite an absence. But I napped a horse of his called Aristo de Plessis at Cheltenham on Friday, and quite frankly, although he was running first time out, he didn't run particularly well. So I just pass a line through that one. The interesting thing about this race is we've got Toledo Gold in it. Now, Toledo Gold is absolutely certain to send a scorching pace to set really fast gallop. He's been running over hurdles recently, but he is a chaser. He'll do his very best to make every yard of it, Toledo Gold, and Maurice Barnes's horses are in very good shape. But will he stay the trip? I'm not so sure he will, so I'm going to go for Lucinda Russell's horse here, 7 Devils. Lucinda had a quiet start to the autumn, but she had a very close second at Carlisle with Revocation, and she had a winner at Kelso on Saturday with a one for Arthur. So it looks as though the team are coming into form. 7 Devils ran well last time out. He was third behind formidable opponent who's been winning races off the trot on the Northern jumping scene. And What's Up Woody was second. I thought that was a promising run. 7 Devils will be the choice.
So 7 Devils, one that appeals in the 3:35 at Ayr. So let's move on to the next race of our preview at Ayr. We're looking at the 4:10. It's a Class 4 Novices Limited Handicap. It's over 2 mile, 4 furlongs and 110 yards. 6 runners in the field to choose from. John, what do you like here?
Well, sort of going down from the top, we've got a Newton Lad who represents Lucinda Russell. Remote fourth last time out, could improve. Then we have Bright Prospect, who very much in this race with a serious chance, trained by Jackie Stevens, who is, of course, the northernmost trainer in the UK. But her horses are in good shape, and she had a winner at Carlisle last Thursday, and her runners have been running well at tracks like Perth. Bright Prospect has been very consistent, a big player here. I'm not that interested in Golden Investment. My investments are never gold. But one must be careful. The horse I like in this race and it just depends whether he's fit enough. He's so satisfied. Now, Ian Jardine is in tremendous form, and his horse is, you know, going close under both codes. He trains now, of course, in Lenny Lungo's old stables at Carruthers Town near Dumfries, and the horses look well and run well. And when I went round his yard about a month ago, he pointed out so satisfied and said this horse had been running quite well over hurdles, but he expected him to run much better over the bigger obstacles. He ran quite well in a novice handicap chase at Perth some while ago. That was actually won by Bright Prospect, but he said that so satisfied it wanted a little bit of cut in the ground and will be seen at his best on a flat track going left-handed. Now, all those credentials are found at Ayr, and I see no reason why so satisfied should not run well. He's got to reverse Perth form with Bright Prospect, but he is a good prospect. So satisfied is the choice.
So satisfied, the one for John in the 4-10 at Ayr. Let's move on to the two races that we're going to be looking at Leicester, and the first one is the 3:15, a Class 2 handicap over 1 mile and 60 yards. 10 runners in the field to choose from. What would be the best bet here, John?
Well, it's a very, very tight race, this. And obviously the top one has got a big chance, Highland Colory. He is a sound, consistent horse. Andrew Balding likes him very much. He's one of the favourites in the stable, and actually ran possibly his best race for a long time when six in one of those really competitive handicaps at Ascot last time, 6 of 19, and although carrying top weight, must go surely very well. Second in the list is Beach Bar, course and distance winner, and trained by Brendan Powell. And Beach Bar's also been running pretty well, and has got Josephine Gordon in the saddle, claiming 3, and was a fair fourth last time out. But on the other hand, I thought it needed to improve a little bit to win this. At the bottom of the handicap, two old favourites of mine, Pintura and Finn Class. Pintura from Alistair Willans and Finn Class, Michael Dodds. They've got to improve quite a lot. So the danger to Highland Colory, and I'll just make it the choice, is Night Owl. Now, Night Owl is trained by James Fanshawe, and his team, of course, in very good shape. The Tin Man is the one we all remember, but there have been other winners, for example, up at Newcastle on the Tapita recently. And although well beaten in the Cambridgeshire Night Owl, this horse had run an excellent second at Ripon behind Treasury Note, who was in very good form at that time. So I think Night Owl for James Fanshawe is the choice.
Night Owl, the one that appeals for John in the 3:15 at Leicester. Let's move on to the final race of our preview. It's the 4:20 at Leicester, a Class 2 handicap over 1 mile, 3 furlongs and 183 yards. 8 runners in the field to choose from. What do you like in this one, John?
Well, I like a couple in this race. It's a very highly competitive contest. Remember Sir Gordon Richards, incidentally, who rode lots of winners at Leicester in his time. Sir Gordon Richards, a tremendous jockey. I mean, when you think of it, he was riding from well before World War II to well after World War II. And he rode on one occasion, I think it was 269 winners in a season, which was a record that was maintained for a very long time. And when you consider the transport and the distance that he had to go, that was a quite remarkable performance. One of the greatest jockeys of all time, Sir Gordon Richards. Race here, Dashing Star, top weight, David Ellsworth. Must go pretty well. Running for the first time this season, though, we have to be a little bit questionable about it. Won the big handicap, three-year-old mile-and-a-half handicap at Musselburgh two seasons ago. Decent horse, David Ellsworth. Got a team in pretty good shape. Will he be fit enough to win first time out, though? Tordea comes next. David O'Meara and Danny Tuthope. And Tordea has been in very good form throughout the season and was a decent fifth to Fabricate at Leicester last time out. And, you know, must improve on that. I don't think much about Fat Sota. Dangerous thing to say. Same for Noble Gift, who's, very consistent but doesn't win often. Danger. graduate at the bottom is Declan Carroll's horse, Buonarroti. Now, Buonarroti is a very decent handicapper and was, in fact, fifth at Haydock recently. Could be running into form. The stable are in very good nick. So this is interesting race. I think Dashing Stars perhaps got a little bit too much to do first time out. I reckon it was down to Tor Deer against Buonarroti. David O'Meara is the man I like. Tor Deer will be the choice.
So Tor Deer for John in the 4:20 at Leicester. Well, John, can you please recap your selections for the four races that we've looked at on that Monday?
Well, we hope we can. Michael, we're going to air first of all, which was the 3:35, and here we like Seven Devils for Lucinda Russell. In the 4:10, the choice will be Ian Jardine's horse, So Satisfied, who I think is a name we should remember anyhow, whatever happens on Monday afternoon. Then at Leicester in the 3:15, I like Highland Calori, but the choice is Night Owl for James Fanshawe. And in the last race at Leicester, again, very tight handicap, Tor Deer is the selection.
Well, John, as always, thank you for your thoughts on Monday's racing action. And remember to tune in to Racing Radio on Monday from 1:50 p.m.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.